rolling.
All right, so Sydney, thank you so much for being here. So let's just start off really easy. Tell me about yourselves.
Yeah. I'm an incoming junior at UW-Milwaukee. My major is political science, and I'm minoring in economics.
Yeah, and you are the vice chair of College Dems?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And what do you do for College Dems?
Basically, really, we're just trying to get people involved, and that really is, like, the format of, like, meetings, weekly emails, and also just, like, general outreach during, like, tabling.
And what got you into politics?
Well, really, it kind of started with, like, my familial background, I would say. My parents are both very, very interested in politics, especially Democratic politics in Milwaukee. My dad was a part of a labor union. My mom, she's a professor. So they both really see the importance of getting involved in taking that personal right of civic duty.
Mm-hmm. And you told me a little bit earlier that you actually had, like, gone out and been active in politics from a young age. What was that about?
Yeah, so basically my dad, big Obama fan, probably the biggest Obama fan I've ever met. He was a big fan in 2008, and then once me and my sister got a little bit older in 2012, we were really able to go out and canvass and door knock, and I was like six, so I don't really remember. I remember being extremely cold, but also I remember the importance of it and how, you know, we were doing that, and then he ended up being elected. And in my mind as a kid, I was like, I did that, you know, I was the one who allowed him to be there. But also it was just kind of the feeling of, you know, I can make a change here.
Yeah. And so you're a young person,
yes.
Right?
I've been told.
So as a young person that's engaged in politics, mm-hmm. Tell me, what are you experiencing as a challenge right now?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is I feel like a lot of young people don't think that the older people in office are seeing eye to eye with us, and whether that's, you know, rising tuition costs, rising costs of living. You know, a lot of us, we have, you know, hourly paid jobs, not a lot of us have salaried positions, so that can kind of bring a few monetary issues when it comes to, you know, paying for gas that's over $4 or paying for groceries, like basic necessities, that aren't as cheap as they used to be. And a lot of young people have to take on this responsibility of getting more than one job, plus balancing, you know, just being young and also balancing school and life and family life. It's just all kind of becoming a little bit weighted, mm-hmm. I would say.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit more about like old people not understanding. Do you feel like that's something that's like part of the parties right now or part of the current wave of politics, that there's, you know, like this sort of divide between old people and younger people?
I mean, like, you kind of see this a lot throughout history. I think a lot when I think about it is the 1970s when women were fighting for reproductive justice. I think a lot of the times they didn't think that older people saw what they saw as, you know, abortion being this right. And I think a lot of the time, older people maybe just want to keep things the way that they are, and young people are a lot more progressive. So I think that we just sometimes don't see eye to eye, and it tends to flatline a lot of our, like, big issues. Mm-hmm. So I just think that a lot of the time, there's just not a lot of through line. But, like, there sometimes is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And so tell me about the college. Obviously, you're a Democrat, right?
Yes.
So what about the Democratic Party do you think addresses these concerns for young people?
Well, I think that the Democratic Party has a better way of being progressive. You know, I think a lot of the times the Republican Party wants to go back and wants to kind of end and cut all these things that really have been really productive for a lot of groups, you know, whether that's stamp benefits, EBT, you know, they were cutting funding for that, which has helped so many people, especially in my city of Milwaukee. And, sorry, I don't remember that.
That's fine. Do you want to try that over? Or?
Yeah, for sure. What was the question again? Sorry.
The question was, what about the Democratic Party do you think are addressing young people's needs?
Yeah, well, like I said, I guess, I think the Republican Party can be a lot less progressive, especially when it comes to issues like stamps and EBT, you know? And I think, like I said before, younger people are just a lot more of a progressive group. They want to see things change. And I think the Democratic Party, while maybe sometimes their policies may be a little bit progressive for some, I just think that they have a really good job of understanding that the world needs to change and it needs to progress forward. And sometimes it's okay. And sometimes it's okay to have a little bit of progression and to have that, you know, disconnect with another side so you can get what you want at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And so we were talking on the phone last week about sort of the gender divide in politics. I want to get your thoughts on that again. Do you think it's one party is pushing one gender away? Do you think one party is pulling more gender? What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think one party is overstating the issues of one gender because of progression. You know, I think a lot of the times men had this very secured position in society, whether that's in the home being the breadwinner, whether that's in economics being the smarter person. And I think the Democratic Party has really pushed women out of this kind of hole, you know, to be the breadwinners, to be the ones that, you know, understand that, you know, life isn't just a man's job, it's also a woman's job. And I think that, you know, when you think about issues of, I don't know, like women outpacing men in some education and even in the workforce now, I think a lot of the times Republicans want to make men out to be the minority group when it's very much not that.
Have you, obviously you do a lot of work in politics, but outside of that, have you experienced any of that kind of tension in your daily life at all? That was a fine answer.
I think that, like, I'm very fortunate to be a part and be around many people that don't just see me as a woman or doesn't just see the historical, I guess, notion that women have had. I think that a lot of the people that I put myself around really do understand the importance of a woman and really does understand the importance of equality and equity.
Yeah, yeah. And this was actually like an article that I was looking at earlier today that it had a really interesting framing on this. It said, like, yeah, men are doing, you know, worse politically maybe.
Yeah.
But like, or no, sorry, I got that better. Men are doing maybe not as good as they used to. Like, they're not getting as high of a degree as women are, and they're not maybe getting as many jobs as women are, but women are doing worse politically, right? You had, like, the Me Too movement, Dobbs, right? Like,
right.
Hillary and Kamala, they both ran and they didn't get the presidency.
Right.
Do you think that sort of helps deepen the divide, or do you think that's sort of, like, a symptom? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's probably deepened the divide across party lines, but I think within the party, it really did just make us more closer, and it really made us understand that we have a lot more to fight for other than just fighting against Republicans. Like, we have to strengthen the base so then we can be able to take on people like Donald Trump, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So moving away from gender, another stat that I saw was that young people are more independent.
Yeah.
And outside of the parties, they're still obviously voting within the party because, like, we only have two. But, like, but you know, what do you make sense of that? Do you think people are upset with the parties? Do you think people are just want new ideas? Well, why do you think our generation is so independent?
Well, I think a lot of the times, like you said, you know, I think there's a lot of anger within Democrats because a lot of people just see Democrats losing everywhere. You know, we lost, or I guess Kamala lost, you know, in 2020 or 2024, and then Hillary lost in 2016, like you said. And I think a lot of the times it just doesn't seem like Democrats are doing enough for young people, even though it's kind of hard to get kind of that support across the aisle so then you can get things done. But I think a lot of the times, like, young people are just very independent and allows themselves to think for their own, and I really admire that.
Yeah, and so as a young person in politics, what do you see other young people doing right now that you think is great?
Well, I think a lot of the time they're taking, you know, their own initiative to do the research, to go out, to go talk to candidates. You know, I think a lot of the time what makes young people now very unique is that we have social media and we have the internet to be able to do that research and to be able to really get an answer for ourselves.
Yeah. And going back to college Democrats, I misremembered. Are you one of the founding members of UW-Milwaukee's?
I'm not. That was our past president, Sydney. Okay. Another Sydney. She was the founder.
Okay. But you've been involved since more or less the start.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you guys have been doing to build that up?
Mm-hmm. Well, really, we were just trying to just get people interested in politics. I think that's really been the issue, is getting people, you know, interested in, well, why would I vote if I feel like nothing changes? Mm-hmm. Well, we want to show you what could change if someone who we don't want in office is here, or we can show you the changes of what we do when we really come together and get someone in. And I think with college Democrats, we were really able to hone in on that, whether that's, you know, tabling events, whether that's just events with different people around Milwaukee, like aldermen, and, you know, we really want to have whoever the gubernatorial candidate is, like, we want them to come and speak. So we just really want people to just really be excited to go in, so then they'll be more inclined to go to the polls. So then they'll be more inclined to tell their friend, hey, you know, go vote. Or even, like, just walking around with a sticker, you know, like, we have stickers that we give out, we have pins, like, we try to make it as fun and as lighthearted as possible, so then we make politics a habit.
And do you have a success that you, from this time that you've been with College Gems, that you think you're really proud of?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest successes that we've had was we put on a candidate forum for two of the Assembly 19, I believe. Yeah, sorry, we gotta redo that because I completely forgot.
Absolutely.
No, yeah, so we were really able to. Wait, sorry. So basically, we had a candidate forum for Assembly District 19 for Ryan Clancy and Bridget Maniacci, and that's where we invited, you know, community leaders, students. My mom came. So many people came. We had questions, and we were really able to flesh out these candidates and see what they would do for us. So I think that was really, I'm really proud of that, because I think that had a really good turnout, and we were really all able to come together and learn about these different candidates. Even if we didn't know anything about them before, we really did leave learning something important.
Yeah. And you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I want to know your thoughts on social media. How do you think that's affected our generation, since I've had Instagram since like 10, you know, right? Mm-hmm. How do you think that's affected us?
Yeah, I think social media has been friend and foe. You know, friend is like, you can really look up anything and you can get that knowledge. You know, you don't have to go to a library. You don't need to ask someone who's already biased. You can go find, you know, unbiased, you know, websites. Foe is that a lot of the time people can go to the wrong places and find the information. Like, a lot of people go to TikTok for their sources, and it's like, a lot of time TikTok is just people talking to a camera with opinions. It's not real backed up knowledge. So I think people can be misinformed and disinformed, and, you know, there's a lot of people out there who want you to believe one thing, and it can be really indoctrinating sometimes. So it's just being able to tell what's real and what's not, and, like, obviously social media literacy is really important now, you know, with AI and, you know, internet deepfakes and stuff like that. So I just think that it's been hard to juggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Two more questions for you.
Yeah.
So this is going to air like September 25th, mm-hmm. So way after the primary. We don't totally know who the Democratic candidate is yet, but it's, I think at this point, either going to be Crowley or Hong, right?
Right.
They're both not 68-year-old like Tom Tiffany.
You know.
So my question for you is, you know, like, do you think that has an impact? I mean, the last Biden was, he was hit on for being old. Trump is starting to be hit on for old. Lindsey Graham just died. What do you think that, do you think the age of politicians has an impact on the youth vote?
Oh, absolutely. I think that a lot of the times when we see someone who's a lot older, we just don't feel connected. You know, you can talk to your grandparent, but you don't really feel super connected, like they understand how you feel. And I think that having younger candidates really does open up the pool for us to, you know, have greater ideas. You know, it's not just people who have been informed by the past, it's people who are also informed by the present and the future and who will be leading the future, which is Gen Z.
Yeah, yeah. So final question for you, you can take your time with this. Do you have a message for politicians as a young person about what you want them to know?
I have to make this good. I have to make this real
take
good.
Your time.
Let me think. I mean, I guess mine would be, we're here for you just as much as you're here for us. You know, as much as we want to help you get somewhere, you also need to help us. And I think that a lot of young people are helping, you know, with the Francesca Hong campaign, you know, with the David Crowley campaign, and even with, you know, Sarah Rodriguez, who just dropped out. I think a lot of the times it's really backed by young people. A lot of the biggest movements have been backed by the youngest crowds. So I just think that we shouldn't lose sight on that. You know, if it's just, not even just 19-year-old, 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, but like 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, like start them off young. You know, you shouldn't just allow people to just cloud your judgment, especially people who are older, you know? And I think a lot of the times we should be really pushing towards the future. And I think a lot of the politicians who I see running for the governor's seat really do want young people a part of the future. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah, yeah. Any final thoughts? Anything you feel like we've missed on that you really want to say?
Vote. Vote August 11th. That's what I want to say.
This
vote.
Is going to air September 25th. You want to try to
vote November.
Very good. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
One last thing before I cut. We got to get what we call room tone. So it's just 20 seconds of the sounds around us, like the air conditioning, a little bit of the street. Helps us smooth out some audio issues in post.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and cut.